Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
I'd like to welcome you to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. My name is Pastor John Pereira, and we're going to be sharing with you some very specific principles that can help you get started right on your marriage relationship, or if you've been married, to improve your marriage relationship. Our topic for the next couple of weeks is going to be how to keep the marriage knot from slipping. You know, Henry Ford was once asked the secret for his successful marriage at his 50th wedding anniversary. Henry Ford replied, "The secret for my marriage relationship is the same as the secret for my automobile business. Stick to the same model and keep on working at it." Well, I want to give you that word of encouragement today. Stick to the same person and keep on working on your marriage. For marriage to work, it takes dedication, perseverance, and the centrality of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to be sharing some principles with you on how to keep the marriage knot from slipping. But I'd like to, first of all, address the divorce issue. The fact that 6 out of 10 marriages are ending in divorce in our country today. And sad to say, it's not much different in our churches. And oh, how we need to apply these principles to keep the marriage knot from slipping. Are you ready? Now, if you're driving down the road, I don't recommend you take a pen and paper in hand. But perhaps your wife next to you, if she can keep from elbowing you to listen a little closer to this broadcast, might take a piece of paper and jot down these for you. Then take a time to get alone with you and the Lord and your wife and go over some of these principles together. So now we're ready to start. Principle number one, make sure you get married in the will of God. Make sure you get married in the will of God. I think of that great Psalm 127. I'll take the time to read it because it says so much to us about the blessings that God wants to shower upon us in the institution of marriage and the home. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Get married in the will of God. Jesus himself said that every kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. There's some questions that we need to ask ourselves with reference to getting married in the will of God. And I have 10 questions that I'd like for you to jot down under this main issue of getting married in the will of God. Here's a checklist 10 principles involved in getting married in the will of God. Principle number one, do you have a common faith? You know, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? You see, unequally yoked relationship will destroy that oneness that God would have you to have. Do you have a common faith? Oh, when those trials come, those testings come in a marriage, if one professes to know Christ as personal Savior and the other one rejects Him and finds his comfort in the bottle or in the dance hall or with other women, there's not that relationship together of knowing Christ and finding your unity and oneness in Him. You know, this unequally yoked issue even applies to situations that I've seen of spiritual Christians marrying very, very unspiritual Christians. Very little spiritual maturity. Ladies, remember, the one to whom you marry, you will be biblically placing yourself under submission to that person. And if that person does not know Christ as Savior, or if they're a nominal Christian, you'll need to be prepared to submit to that type of leadership. So getting married in the will of God involves, first of all, having a common faith. Second of all, what interests do you have in common? In the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the Word of God reads, can two walk together except they be agreed? What are the priorities of your life? Does one want to go to parties? Does one want to go to church? You'll soon be a church widow or a church widower if you don't have the same interests in common. Principle number three, do I love him or her as they are? Or do I plan on changing him or her? You know, it's interesting. Oftentimes a lady, when she is looking to marriage, she has her eye on the altar and she has her eye on the hymn. And oh, when we conclude with that wonderful wedding ceremony, how wonderful it will be. But soon, that thinking turns into, I'll alter him. And you think that you'll change them. Oh, how we need to realize that what you see is what you get. And what you get is what you'll stay with. Oh, how we need to recognize that we need to be faithful to our marriage commitments. But yes, we must choose wisely. Number four, what attracts me to him or to her? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says it ought not to be just the outside, but the inner person of the heart. If you're just marrying a person, as we said in our last broadcast, for their body, that body will soon go the way of the second law of thermodynamics. And it's going to wear down and wear out. And soon, before you know it, the build turns to baldness and bunions. And gravity begins to take over. And oh, we can do what we can to lessen the effects of aging. But if you marry a person for their body, you'll soon find that there's little commonality that you have together. Principle number five. Does my partner compliment me in my areas of weakness? You see, the Word of God says in the book of Genesis that when God created man, He made the statement, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." The word meet means corresponding to. And the idea is your partner is to add to you, is to fill you out, just like two complementary angles with adjacent sides increase the scope of their angular relationship. Here we have a husband that is to be added to and made complete by his wife. Number six, do you have common views on what commitment is in marriage? Jesus said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Do you have views on commitment in marriage? You know, children that are from homes where divorce has taken place are more likely themselves to divorce because they have seen that as their frame of reference. Make sure that you have your eyes on the biblical model of marital commitment before God. Number seven, are your family backgrounds compatible? You need to recognize that when you marry a partner, you're also marrying a family. They're going to have influences on that child. They're going to be wanting to take care of their grandchildren. There's going to be concerns about influences. Are our family backgrounds compatible? How that needs to include spiritual compatibility. Number eight, am I willing to be treated the way he or she treats his or her parents? Watch how your suitor treats his or her mom. Now, ladies, let me have a word with you. Listen carefully. If your fiancé or your boyfriend calls his mom "my old lady," someday you're going to be that old lady, and that attitude is going to extend to you. Gentlemen, you watch how she treats her dad. She'll be treating you that way. It will not be long. Principle number nine. How do they handle themselves under stress? How does your partner handle himself under stress? You know, there are six ways, someone said, to learn everything you ever need to know about a man before you marry him. Listen to this, girls. Number one, watch him drive in heavy traffic. You're probably driving in heavy traffic as you're listening to my voice right now. Number two, play tennis with him. Number three, listen to him talk to his mother when he doesn't know that you're listening. Number four, see how he treats those who serve him. For instance, he goes to a restaurant. Is he nasty and arrogant and demanding with the waitress? Watch out. You may soon be treated like that waitress. Number five, notice what he's willing to spend his money on to buy. Number six, look at his friends. And if you still can't make up your mind, then look at his shoes. A man who keeps his shoes in good repair generally tends to keep the rest of his life in order as well. Finally, do I really know them? Oh, some of these questions will help you to understand that. You know, there's a principle way back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, and verse 2. The Word of God says, Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Here the scripture is saying that the wilderness wanderings revealed the hearts of men. Stress, trials, testings, difficult circumstances will reveal what is in the heart of your partner. Some people marry for puppy dog love. Puppy dog love. Keep in mind, puppies are born with their eyes closed, just like hot water brings out what's in a tea bag. Sometimes the trials and the struggles of life will be revealing to you very, very clearly what that partner is all about. Make sure you get married in the will of God. Now, I'm not going to be covering the rest of my points in how to keep the marriage knot from slipping, because I'd like to answer a little bit of the email correspondence that I've received, and I'm going to deal with a question that comes from Nokoe. And before I do that, I just want to challenge you to join with us next Saturday at 10:30. We're going to give principle number 2 on how to keep the marriage knot from slipping. We've just given you a little taste now, and that's principle number 1, getting married in the will of God. Now, my first email here comes from Okoe. Dear Pastor John, it just seems like I'm plagued with doubts about my salvation all of the time. How can I be sure that I'm saved? Well, those are good questions. I'd like to answer that question with some of my own. Actually, 5 questions. Number 1, was there ever really a time when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You see, the Word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've taken that time to call on the name of the Lord as your personal Savior, He's not a liar. He promises to honor His Word. So my first question to you is, was there a time that you called on the name of the Lord as your Savior? Question number 2. Look at your life and ask yourself, is there evidence of my knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And here's what I mean by evidence. Do you have a desire to do God's will in your heart? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Do you want to read the Bible? Do you want to see what God has to say to you? Number 3, do you love God's people? Do you love to be in God's house? Are you faithful in church? Faithful in the house of the Lord? 4, do you believe right? Examine what you believe. Do you believe that salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from works? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, sinless, righteous, who shed His blood in your place? Do you believe that truly in your heart? And are you embracing Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He died on the cross and rose again for your salvation? Do you believe He's coming back to take you home? And finally, are you seeking to be led by the Spirit of God? Are you seeking to say, Lord, I want to seek You. I want to follow You. You see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives assurance to those who seek to be led by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Do you want to seek to be led by the Spirit of God? Verse 16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, why is it that some Christians can have doubts about their salvation? Well, sometimes there's known disobedience in a believer's life. Very similarly to what 2 Peter chapter 1 is referring to. A Christian that is failing to grow in the Lord by obedience and by feeding on the Word will often begin to backslide. And the Word of God tells us we're to add to our faith. But the Bible also says, "He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." 2 Peter 1:9. So you see, the Word of God says that we need to daily confess our sins before the Lord. We need to daily practice spiritual breathing. When you breathe out, you confess your sins. When you breathe in, you take in God's promises by reading His Word. Now, some Christians, frankly, doubt their salvation because they've been taught wrong. They have perhaps been raised in a church that teaches that you can lose your salvation. I would encourage you to read scriptures like Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that says, "He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 1:5, "We are kept by the power of God." John chapter 10, verse 27, "Claim these promises, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." It wouldn't be eternal if you could lose it, would it? "And they shall never perish." In the Greek construction, that's a double negative. "They shall no never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Ephesians 4:30 says that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we have a triple protection: the sealing of the Spirit, we're in the Father's hand, and we're also protected by the hands of our Savior. So you see, this can be easily understood, that we can have assurance of our salvation. Now, I always counsel that if there is one that lacks assurance, they need to confess all known sin before God. Ask themselves, "Do I really believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and is my only hope of salvation?" Then I would encourage you, if your doubt persists, to nail a stake into the ground, and right where you are now, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Settle that question. Nail it down and say, "Lord, I've had doubts in the past about my salvation, but I'm going to commit myself." And nail it down today. "I believe that I'm a sinner, that I'm lost, that I'm bound for hell, that I cannot save myself, but that Jesus paid it all on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, right now, I'm putting all of my faith and trust in what you did for my sins. I believe that you died for me, that you were buried, that you rose the third day in victory over sin and death, that you rose and ascended into the presence of God, and Lord, that you're coming again to receive me unto yourself. And I thank you for saving me. And all of these doubts, I give them to you. And I nail down the stake into the ground this day. I'd like to pray and ask God's prayer for this one, as well as any others that may be having doubts of their salvation or may have never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. May the Lord have you pray this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I receive you and all that you've done on Calvary for my sins. Come into my heart and save me through your precious blood sacrifice on Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May God bless you. Let me encourage you to continue to send those emails in and keep on asking those questions that will be of benefit to you. And listen in for the continuing series on how to keep the marriage knot from slipping. And remember, the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages, and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.